be reminded of that, his great work in our life. Kind of, again, and we've been a couple weeks in transition before we start in our new series. Last week we talked about attitude and the importance of having a positive attitude. And today I wanted to talk about another attitude of having no fear. Because we're living in a society and a time that's pretty fearful for a lot of people. If you look at the news, all you see is the turmoil, all the upset. You know, people are worried about terrorist attacks. They're worried about corruption in the government. So many things that are concerning us, maybe in our lives. In addition to that, there's a lot of what if scenarios. And maybe you've thought of some of those. What if I get cancer? I think about that. My brother's got cancer. Everybody in my dad's side died of cancer. And I always think, well, what if I get cancer? What if I'm in an accident? What if my spouse leaves me? What if one of my child dies? You ever thought that or worried about these different things? Or what if I lose my job? What if I lose my friends and I'm rejected at school? If you weren't feeling troubled, you probably are now since I brought all those things up. So, some people say we're in the cardiac age because everybody has heart trouble. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You don't have to be worried. You can trust in me. And you'll, if you look on your outline, I've put that as a key verse out of John 14, 1. And I'm doing the sermon a little bit different today. I'm not going to read the whole passage at once. Matter of fact, we're going to go through the whole chapter 14. But we're just going to read different sections that talk about why we don't need to be afraid. But his key verse is John 14, 1 on your outlines. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. So here's the key truth that I want you to hear. The central truth, I put it on your outline for you. If you don't get anything else out of it, you need to hear this truth. Jesus says the peace in our heart and mind is directly connected to our trust in God. In other words, when we are not at peace, we're not trusting in him. So if you're anxious over people and you're troubled over things, you're not really trusting. So Jesus comes to his disciples the night before he goes to the cross, and he says, don't be afraid, because they're upset. They were already discouraged. They're finally getting it that this might be the end. You know, Jesus is 33 years old. They thought he was going to be with them for a long time. They thought he was going to overthrow the Roman government and that they would rule with him. Now he's saying, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be gone from you, and they're all upset. In addition to that, he said, you guys aren't really so faithful. One of you is going to betray me, and one of you is going to deny me three times before the rooster crows tomorrow morning. So they're really troubled, and in that setting, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, and the reason that you don't have to be, you can trust in God, and you can trust in me. And so in this chapter 14, Jesus gives 8 promises to his disciples, which he also gives to us, that's going to help us know we don't have to be afraid if we'll trust. And he's telling us what we should trust in him for. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts and encourage us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would speak to us because we probably all have some fear in some area right now that we need to turn over to you. And even as we come to communion this morning, we want to be able to surrender those fears and we want to be able to trust you and go forth encouraged and at peace in our heart and our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus gives us these 8 promises, and the first one that he gives is the promise of paradise. He says to them, you know, I'm going to be dying here, but there's a better place. I'm going to a different place. It says, this world is not the end. There is life after death, and for the Christ follower, it will be good. So look at verses 2 to 3, and we're going to follow along. You can follow it up here on the screen as well. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I don't know of any promise that helps me in life more than the promise of paradise. I think it's the only way that life makes sense here. Because, you know, I've stood by the bedside of young mothers dying of cancer and leaving teenagers behind. I've stood beside people who lost a child in an accident maybe that they caused. There isn't any sense in that. I mean, I can't give you any answers. The only answer I know is that's not where God wants us to be. God did not create us to be in pain and suffering and tears and loss and have to leave our loved ones behind. God created us to live forever with him in paradise, and this whole book's about how to get there. This whole book is about how, yeah, there's pain, there's evil, there's stealing, there's lying, there's bad things in this life, but that's not God's desire for us or plan for us. The better plan is heaven. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to prepare a way for you. That's why I'm dying on the cross for you, that you can go there. That is our hope. You know, that's the only hope that we stand on is the resurrection from the dead. So the first promise that ought to encourage your heart is there's a paradise. No matter what you're going through now, there's better days ahead. The second promise that he gives them is the promise of pardon. And Jesus provided the way for us to get to heaven. We don't have to earn it or find it on our own. Disciples are saying, I don't know how to get to heaven. I don't know how I'm going to get there. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to provide the way, and I'm going to take you there. So look at verses 4 to 6. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many of you have ever thought, I probably won't make it to heaven? I'm probably not good enough. Probably comes back in your mind quite often. And it probably was with the disciples. Well, I don't know I'm going to make it to heaven. I've got anger issues. I've got a lot of other problems. I'm probably going to be the one that betrays you. I'm probably going to be the one that walks out the door and says, I don't even know you. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. I've got you covered. I'm paying the price for you. I'm going to be the way for you. And if you believe in me, remember it's all about trust, you believe in me, there's a paradise, you believe in that, you believe in me, I'm going to forgive your sins, I'm going to take you there, nobody's going to snatch you out of my hands, and you don't have to worry about it because you're mine. Does that encourage you? That's a promise that we have of God's pardon, and we're going to celebrate that today through communion again. The third promise is the promise of personhood, where Jesus says, I am who I claim to be, I am God in the flesh, and when you look at me, you see the Father. My promises are true. I will do what I say. If there's any a promise that we need today, is we need to know that Jesus is who he said he is. We have all kinds of religions. We're living in a multi-religion society. And everybody says there's all kinds of ways to heaven, but Jesus said, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the way. There is no other way. And you don't have to be worried that you're on the wrong path. Have you ever thought about that? Well, maybe Muslims are right. Maybe Chinese are right. Maybe I'm on the wrong path. Jesus says, you don't have to worry about that. You're on the right path. I am who I said that I am. Let's look at verses 7 to 11 as he tells them that. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. Jesus says, look at my life. Am I lying? Am I stealing? Am I crazy? I'm here helping people. I'm loving people. I've turned water into wine. I've raised people from the dead. I've healed the lame. I calm the storms. I feed people, 5,000 people at a time. Can't you see that I am who I claim I am? You know, I couldn't go to heaven. I couldn't prepare paradise for you. I couldn't promise coming back. I couldn't promise that I'll take you if you don't believe in me. He says, but you can believe in me. So he gives them the promise of his personhood. Number four, he gives them the promise of power. He says, even though you feel inadequate, you will do greater things than I have done through the Holy Spirit working in you. And if you feel inadequate at times, do you feel inadequate today to do the job that you need to do? God will give us strength to do whatever we need to do. And he says, okay, if I'm leaving you and I'm giving you this big task of evangelizing the world and you're thinking you can't do it, let me tell you, I can do it through you. I will empower you. I will help you. Look at verse 12. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, see, it's that believing again. If you'll trust in me, then you will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. You think, well, how can the disciples do greater things than Jesus? You know, there or us today, you know, we're not seeing a lot of people raised from the dead or turning water to wine or walking on water. But what happened? After Jesus went to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit, you know, then the whole message of the gospel began to spread. When Jesus just worked in Galilee, it went to Judea, Samaria, went around the world. Even through Paul, it went to the Gentiles and went to Rome. When the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, Peter preaches, and 3,000 people came to know Christ in one day. Jesus never had that many people respond. You know, so they did greater things because the Holy Spirit worked in them. And what God is telling them, and Jesus is telling us, is that I'll give you the power to do what I want you to do. You don't have to be afraid that you can't do it, that you're inadequate. You know, whatever I call you to do, I'm going to equip you to do. So the power of his promise. Number five is the promise of provision. He said, you have a direct line to God through prayer, and God will supply all your needs. They're probably thinking, I don't have a job. Where am I going to get food to eat? No, he sent them out. Two by two, don't take anything with you. How are we going to have the provision even to do what we need to do? Sometimes we might even think that in a church. Well, we're not very many people. Where do we get the funds to do the ministries we want to do? And God says, whatever I call you to do, I'm going to provide for you. And I'm going to do it through prayer. Look what he says in verses 13 and 14. He said, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. You got a direct line to God. It's kind of like he's going to write a blank check, send it to the bank, and if you need it, just draw on it. You don't have to be afraid that God's not going to provide for your needs because he said he will. So in review, you know, if you're afraid, he says, don't worry about the struggles and hardship in this life because there's paradise that's better, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you there. It's always going to be better. He says, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to make it to heaven or not because I'm providing the way. I've got your ticket. I've got it punched. I'll write your name in heaven. Nobody's going to steal you. Satan's going to try to convince you that you're not going to make it. He's going to try to pull you away, but nobody's going to snatch you out of my hand. I've got you pardoned and you're mine. He said, you don't have to be afraid. And he says, you don't have to worry that you're on the wrong track when everybody tells you that there's different ways to heaven. You know that I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And you don't have to worry if you feel inadequate to do what you need to do because I will empower you. And you don't have to worry about having all the things that you need because I will provide for you on that way. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me and trust in God and you'll find that peace. The biggest thing and the most part of this chapter that he talks about and maybe the greatest reason that we don't have to be afraid is the promise of a paraclete. Paraclete is the Holy Spirit. That's a Greek name. Means counselor, means guide, somebody that comes alongside of you. He says in verses 15 to 26, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you to guide you and to teach you everything that you will need to know. He said, you're afraid you're going to be alone, that I'm not with you, but he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm going to be with you in the Holy Spirit. So let's read this. It's a longer passage here, verses 15 to 26. Just hang in there and read it along because it's all talking about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our life. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, paraclete, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and I am in you. It always amazes me that he says that, because that's what he says about himself and the Father. And then he says, we'll be that way with the Holy Spirit. We're all connected. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not of my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You know, you can come on Sunday and you can hear a teaching, but you don't need to hear it from me because the Holy Spirit's already going to teach you. The Holy Spirit's already speaking to you. He speaks to you on the job. He speaks to you at home when you're going through. He says, you need to do this. He reminds you of what Jesus said. He's the one that's going to be with you. So Jesus is telling his disciples, you're not alone. He said, I'm going to be with you in this whole process to the end of the world, and you don't have to be afraid because there's a better days ahead. There's a paradise that you're going to go to. I prepared a place just for you there, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you there. I'm opening the door, and I'm going to keep you safe so that you can go there. No matter all your sins and your problems, you feel inadequate, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to take you there. But more than that, I'm going to send you a comforter who's with you every day. You can't beat the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. We have it today. It's actually the presence of Jesus goes with us by our side. Consolus actually lives in us. God's living in us. It's the greatest mystery in the whole Bible, and it's actually eternal life starts when you accept Christ, and it's because you have the Holy Spirit in you who goes on forever. You already should experience heaven now because you have that counselor and you have that guide, and you need to learn to listen to him and follow him in life. And then number seven, he gives us the promise of peace itself. He says, by trusting in me, you will find an inner peace that does not come from the world. It cannot be taken from you. It's not dependent on the situations that you face, and it will sustain you through any trial. How many of you have ever been in a horrible situation and you still had a sense of peace? That God came to you in that horrible time and said, you can be at peace. And you can't explain it. Nobody else can tell you. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. And he said, I'll give you that peace. Look at verse 27 as he promises that. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So if you're troubled, you're anxious, you're worried about so many things, you need to say, God, just give me that peace. Help me to know that you're with me. Help me to know that you're empowering me. Help me to know that you love me. Help me to know that I'm not alone in this. Help me to know you're going to meet my needs. Help me to know I'm not living just for this world. There's a better place to come. Help me to know I'm good enough the way I am because your pardon's going to cover me and you're going to take me to that place in paradise. He'll give you peace. And the last thing, which is really exciting, I think, as he tells his disciples, is the promise of prevailing, that Satan and the powers of this world will not overpower us. We will win in the end. Look what he says in verses 28 through 31. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. See, this whole thing about trusting and believing is where your peace comes from. I will not speak to you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. But listen to this phrase right here. He's coming, but he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. The Bible tells us Jesus willingly laid down his life. He didn't have to die. Satan thinks he's got things under control. He thinks he's going to kill the Son of God. And Jesus says, he has no control on me. You know, I can call 10,000 angels, 100,000 angels. I can walk away from the cross. I choose not to. I'm going to die. Why? Because I want to provide the way of paradise for all my people. I have a place for them. I want them to get away from the troubles of the world, and I want them to get back to paradise where they belong. I'm providing the way. And I'm going to pardon them and give them a way even when they don't deserve it. I'm going to empower them to live the life. I'm going to preserve them, and I'm going to give provision for what they need. I'm going to send myself as a paraclete to walk with them and to help them through this life, and I'm going to see them all the way, and when the troubles come and the storms come, I'm going to give them a peace that the world doesn't understand. But the big thing is, we're going to prevail. We're going to win. In the end, you're on a winning team. You might think you're losing the battle. You're not losing it. You're going to win, because with Christ, you will prevail. He overpowers. He who is in you is greater than he was in the world. And even if all the world's upset and all the world leaders are crazy, we're still going to win. We're still on the winning side, and Satan will not beat us. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he tells his disciples, you don't have to be afraid. You're going to win. It might seem scary, and maybe you'll all end up dying a martyr's death like they did, but they had hope. They were willing to die, because they knew there was a paradise, and they knew there was a place for them, and knew this world was not the end. And God gave them the peace even in the storm, and knew that they were going to prevail, and that they would be on the winning side for Jesus. So here's the application. Are you afraid today? Are you worried today? Concerned about something? You just need to trust in Jesus. It all has to do with your trust. If you trust in God, you trust in Jesus, you don't fear. If you're not trusting, then you're afraid. And you need to say, forgive me for not trusting God. I need to trust in you and not be afraid. So here's the application. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. And let God's peace fill your heart and eliminate your fears. What I'm going to ask as we do communion today is that if you've got an anxious heart and you're troubled about something, that you're going to come, and as you take communion, you're going to give it to Jesus, and you're going to trust him with it, and he's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Lord, you know we're human. You know the disciples were human. They were facing a lot more troubling times than we are. But you said, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. And so your message is still the same for us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. As we take communion today, help us to sense your power, your presence, your pardon with us so we're not afraid. And help us take our fears and leave them with you and trust you so we might find that peace that transcends all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.